it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. And we have been doing these shows for probably 8 years now. And I don't have any idea how many there are. I've lost count recently, but the last I knew there was over 450. I would guess there's close to 500 shows. I have as a returning guest Bernadette Thompson, and she's going to be talking about her new book that was just released about a month ago. But before we get started with Bernadette, I want to remind everyone that if you go to synergyconnectionradio.com, all of the shows are archived there. Just look at the top of the homepage and it'll say show notes. And click on show notes and then you can scroll through 30 pages of shows. And you can have a synopsis on each and every show. So you'll kind of get an idea what the show's about. Most of the people that I have on the show, I have back, you know, 2, 3, 4 times, depending on what their expertise is. And so if you love Mark Anthony, I think he's been on probably 5 times with me. If you like Trey Malicote, Trey's been on at least once a year for probably 6 years. So he may have, you know, quite a few shows. But look for somebody that is talking your language and that you want to listen more to what that person has to say. Also, there is a Boomers Forever Young link. And that link will take you into a website that has amazing age-reversing products. And so for those of us that are over the age of 50, and I think there's a great many people that are listening to the show that are over 50, you know, we begin to get out of bed and maybe we have a knee that hurts, a shoulder that hurts, a hip that hurts or something. And what it is you are losing cartilage in your body. It begins to disappear. We stop making it in our early 50s. And depending on how maybe active you were as a person, you may find that your shoulders or ankles or elbows, a lot of people are doing pickleball these days. And they're finding that they have pickleball elbow, which is similar to tennis elbow. So if that is the case for you, then there is a new product. It's called Cola Gene. So think of Pepsi-Cola and then G-E-N-E. Excuse me. And so Cola Gene signals your body to start making cartilage again. And it kind of triggers that mechanism that used to be there that produced cartilage to start up again. It's a liquid. It's going to come out in a capsule in probably about 2 months. But I've been using it for about 6 months now. And if you have any kind of arthritic pain because of this loss of collagen, loss of cartilage, collagen makes cartilage, then this is going to trigger it. And you can go back, you can try it, see if it makes a difference for you. The products are money back guaranteed for 60 days. So you're going to know in that first 30 days whether you're feeling different. If you don't feel better, return it, get your money back. No big deal. The company is an amazing company. I have been affiliated with them for 8 years and started talking about their products on the show at the time that I started the podcast. And that was because I think people want to feel healthy. They want to feel young again. And this particular company is focused there, how to keep you feeling young and being healthy. So check out their website. They have lots of videos, lots of testimonies. And if you decide to order something, if you put in my first name, L-U-C-Y, the company has said that I can offer 15% discount. So you'll get 15% off of whatever it is you want to try. I do use most of their products. So I will tell you that they're good. They make you stay healthy and make you feel young. All right. So welcome back to the show, Bernadette. And the name of your book is Ancestral Whispers, How My Husband's Passing Unveiled Spiritual Inheritance. My goodness. I didn't know we inherited these abilities, but you and I've talked before, and I don't think I'm inaccurate in saying this, but I think sometimes we inherit from one lifetime to another lifetime. I don't know that we always inherit it from one generation to the next, although I think if we're in a family, most likely that family had certain abilities. And maybe we're fortunate enough to be in a family that has spiritual, or maybe they're in tuned to that spiritual realm. But sometimes I think it's just that we have this, I don't know, like ability to connect from one realm, if you will, one that we're just hooked in somehow. And I know I've told you that in regard to my husband, because I was hearing them say at one point when he was close to death, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. Put your hand on him. And they used me basically as a channel to give him another 3.5 years of life. So I'm not sure that anyone in my family or even a distant relative maybe had that ability. And I feel like in part that it came from some other lifetime that I had where I was a healer. But I don't know that you know those things until you pass over. So tell us all about your book and how his death brought this understanding to you.
Well, thank you, Lucy, for having me back. I'm very happy to be here. And everything you said, I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so much we could talk about. One, I believe myself that it is both what you said, that there is some that passes through your genetic, that there often is healers or people that have it, and that it may come from another lifetime. So I think it is both. My book, I'm so grateful that I get a chance to talk about it. It came from it's a memoir. It wasn't something I expected that I was going to write, and it is the story of how I awakened, how I started in life without any thought of spiritual, of reaching out to spirit. It was something, you know, I grew up in a generation that was not, we didn't do those things. I grew up Catholic. It was, you prayed in one direction. And I was my professional life, I worked with students with grief and trauma in a middle school. So I had a lot of understanding of, you know, emotional things. That was kind of I was kind of an empath, and that was kind of who I was. And then my husband became ill with alcoholism. And you know, he had had this for a while. I mean, I knew that he struggled a little bit with it, but he specifically came to me one day and said, I have a problem. And unfortunately passed away 4.5 years later from alcoholism. And really what the book is about is the journey, you know, who I was before all of this began to happen, and then what the journey was that I took when he got sick, and then how I came out at the end. And one of the things that I had been doing was I was very interested in ancestry. And you and I have talked about this before. We both have Irish we've talked about going to Ireland together.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. And so when I had always re done ancestral re research, not only for my family, but for other families, helping them build trees. And so when David got so sick, we have a tendency to circle the wagons when there is an illness or an addiction in the family. So I delved into ancestry to kind of keep my mind busy so I wasn't sitting there. And I had this amazing connection with my ancestors. But the connection was I was learning about their stories and understanding their lives. And what happened opened up my spiritual journey. So this was something that I had not expected. My ancestors, as one of the things I began to do, as when you are struggling, when family is struggling, I went back to prayer. Prayer wasn't something as I said, I grew up Catholic, but I was not a practicing Catholic and wasn't somebody that did, use prayer often. I didn't really know how to pray. I knew how to say the prayers, but I didn't know how to pray. So, but I had listened to John Edward, who's an East Coast medium, who said he used the rosary. He also grew up Catholic, and he used the rosary to as a meditation. So when I and I happened to hear him say that, and when I was in the angst of all of this was going on, I'm like, okay, maybe I could use the rosary. So I started to use the rosary, and I used the rosary to just calm myself down. And I would use it at night, particularly before I went to bed, because my mind would be spinning. And beads and the mantra of the rosary would settle me down. So this one night, so I'm not, I mean, I was not trying to reach spirit at the time. I was not trying to open to spirit. I was trying to manage manage what was going on. And when when I had this, I went to sleep one night and I had this dream. And it's actually what we call a visitation. And I had a great aunt, Sister Lou, who came to me, and she was a nun. And it was like a Zoom. It's like we're looking across from each other. We're both just two of us. She was in a room that was kind of golden. And I didn't want to look at her because somehow I knew I was awake enough to know that this is different. This isn't a regular. And she made me hold her hands and she gently held them and she had me look at her and she said, "We hear your prayers." And I woke up.
Really?
And I realized in that moment that I wasn't alone. Because when I was saying the rosary, with all the ancestry I had done, I imagined my ancestors sitting around a table with me, saying it with me. It was, I don't even know why I chose that, but I think spirit played a part in it. But it was the beginning of me opening up to, wait a minute, I knew that that was real. I knew that I wasn't alone. And so what happened next was a few weeks later, again, I'm laying in bed at night saying the rosary. And for anybody that does say the rosary, we say it with an audible voice, not a loud voice, but it's like a vibration. So you just say it almost like an om, but you're saying you're saying the prayers. And I began to say, I started to feel a little weird, and I began to say it in an Irish brogue. And
Really?
I do cannot speak in an Irish brogue. I couldn't now if you asked me. And I realized that I had an Irish ancestor that was coming through, a grandmother that was coming through to say it with me. I was able the next day to go to, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it for a long time. But I was able to go the next day and look at my ancestry tree, and I realized who it was, that it was my mother's great grandmother. So my great great grandmother was who was saying it with me.
You know,
And
I'm curious. How did you know it was her that was
you
dying?
know what? It was an energetic thing, which I didn't understand. So all of this is new. If this is, I'm not somebody that, was expecting any of this, but she came in every time I said the rosary after that. So, I mean, it was months and months that I was still relying on the rosary because David was still alive at the time. And so I was still in the thick of things and I was using this, and they came, oh my goodness, it was so amazing. So when David passed, a spirit continued to be with me. So my ancestors were with me. I could feel the angels around me. And I began to realize that David came. He sent me signs that this was, I knew my parents had passed. I thought I had gotten signs from them. But this is when I went from, oh, I'm not imagining this anymore. This is truly an awakening, and that spirit is here, and we do connect with them. So yeah, so that's I want to give it a breath in case there's something you want to share, because that's like the crux of how everything started and why I even wrote the book was because this story, my story, I couldn't believe that I went through it. And I thought as I begin to help people, it might help them to understand what I had gone through.
So, with your husband's passing,
Mm-hmm.
as you opened up those channels, did he come through within, a month or so just to let you know that, yes, there is another side to all of this, and now I understand?
Yes. He came through as and it's going to send, they come through in all kinds of different ways. They can come through in an orb, in a light flickering on and off, in many, many in song. There's so many ways that spirit will because it's energy. So it's and they're trying to connect with you on a level that you might shake you up and that you might pay attention to it. But they want you to know that they're there. So for David, I remember it was for a couple of weeks after I got nothing, and I was shocked. I thought, I knew I had this connection, and I was really thinking that I would hear from him. And so I was out walking the dog in this dog park, and it was in the evening. It was in November, but it was warm out, and there was nobody else there. And we were walking, and it was like walking through the woods. And I was throwing a ball, a tennis ball, for my dog, and I was hearing this noise in the background, and I realized it was a crow that is like squawking. And every time I threw the ball, and I'm not really paying attention, even though I'm understanding there's a crow there. I threw the ball, the crow would go down a few trees and wait. Crow, this happened as we went through it. The walk was probably about a mile. This happened through the whole thing that it, and and off and on, I'm like, all of a sudden I'm starting to think, he's a crow. David's a crow. I'm like, why are you a crow? So we get to the end, and there is literally this, the end of the path is like a cathedral with trees on both sides. And it's like walking through, and that was the end. And then you took a right and went to the parking lot, which was right there. So as we're walking, Lila and I, the little dog and I are walking down this path, the crow flies over our head to the end and stops crowing and just watched us. And so I'm like, you're a crow. I'm like, I can't believe you're a crow. And so, but of course, I'm not believing it. And I didn't quite believe it, but a couple of days later, I had gone back to that same place and didn't hear the crow there. But on the way home, I was stopped at a stoplight and there was a house right there. And it had all these little plastic crows in the front, like this, and it was a home where the people sometimes, like down in the South, it's they dress up the goose, and he and here in Vermont they dress up the crows, so they put them in like Santa suits or whatever. So there are all these plastic crows. I'd never seen them before. I had gone by this house a million times, and I knew that David w drew my attention so that I would make the connection that it was him.
Oh my God. Has he
Yeah.
talked to you since?
Oh yes. He comes in, I now we talked about a little bit further. I now have a guide, but and he always comes in through my guide, but he has come to me in song, like playing songs for me. I mean, I can feel his spirit. I know when he is with me. I've had other people, I had a spiritual mentor who brought him right in, and started telling me that he said he was there for me, that whatever I needed to do as I was rebuilding my life after this losing him and having to start over again, that he was with me and he was going to help me through all of this. And yeah.
They will stay with you maybe for the rest of your life.
They always do, and this is what the book is all about, is that when I looked back at my childhood, I began to see that there were spiritual moments back there that I hadn't recognized before. And I grew up in the age where you do not use a Ouija board. You do not do you don't go looking for spirit, because if you go looking for it, you're going to find trouble. All of these things, it was like, do not go anywhere near that. So I had curiosity, and I had curiosity about the stars. I had curiosity about all kind of spiritual things, but I never considered myself spiritual in that way. And it wasn't until David got so sick, and then I began this reaching out to, and I was reaching out to my parents as well. I did feel their presence, but again, until my ancestors came to me, I didn't, their coming to me was so dramatic that I had to start believing this. Where up to this point, I was kind of believing, where I, oh yeah, maybe that cardinal's my mom, that kind of thing. So those are the roots of the book, and I go on to talk about, I began to help others. So that people would, I continue, I started my company, which is Tell Me Our Story, Ancestral Healing. And I helped, I help others to connect not only with their ancestors, but also to help them through the grieving process. If they have lost a loved one and they are wanting to understand, can we connect? Is that possible? And to know that it's not only possible, but it's bigger than they would can imagine. And then as we begin to take that journey, it grows even bigger, as you and I have already talked about, that we continue to grow in spirit when we have those connections.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the things that I know you understand, and I'm hoping that more and more people begin to understand, is this concept of vibrational frequencies.
Yes.
That when we understand that that's all who, that's the only thing we are,
Yes.
each of our cells is vibrating, whether it's a liver cell, a kidney cell, but we are these frequencies. And therefore, can pick up on other frequencies. It's just, are you
Yes.
dialed in or not?
Yes.
So,
That's the key. You are, and I know you've had Mark Anthony on here a few times, so like I know Mark myself, and I mean his last book is a great book, but it is, that's exactly what it is. When we begin to understand that everything here on Earth is energy, and we know that if we dial it down to atoms, and we're all part of this energy, we're made of it, and we're all part of we're made of stardust, as people like to say, that we're all made of all. And that when we shed our bodies here, we go back to that energy. We go back to being that energy. And we don't lose our ability to communicate. It just changes. And sometimes you can hear, sometimes you will hear a voice. They'll be able to bring a voice in to show you and say, you've told me about people that, have said, this is just the beginning, or this is the beginning of the end, and they've heard that as an audible voice. There are many ways energetically that we can begin to feel spirit, and that's what's the and we all come to it differently. And I yeah.
And get out of the fear mode. As I always tell people, that's false evidence appearing real.
Exactly,
But once you
exactly.
get away from that, then they can begin to receive, truth for what it
Right.
really is.
I had a, or I have, so we're still very dear friends, but a spiritual mentor who began, she also began when her brother passed away from AIDS years and years ago. And it was during his passing, she had no interest in spirit. She was running her own company, did not have any background that would have led her to it. And when he passed away, she started having these moments of feeling his spirit, and all of this coming in, and she started having like shamanic journeys where she things that were like way out of, and she saw her family and all of these things. And so I always thought, for you to open up that you had to have something dramatic that would be that was there. That the only way that you could say, oh yes, I know spirits here is, you know, I've taken shamanic journeys, or I've had them show up at the end of my bed, or you know, things like that. And so the rest of us have a tendency to kind of shut down the spirit energy that's around us because we think that, you know, that can't be. That's, you know, that's, I'm making this up. You
Exactly.
know.
I had something that happened, and I don't think I shared this with you, but I know I shared it with a couple of people that was so puzzling in some ways, I guess I want to say, where that moment, maybe 15 minutes before you totally wake up, where you're kind of in just this lucid state. And so I knew that I was still in bed, but I was seeing almost like a little movie clip. So I was watching this, and I could see that I was sitting on a bench, and I was in like a hotel lobby, that kind of a situation. So I was sitting there by myself, and a friend who is alive in this lifetime walked past me and waved. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, hey, he's really cleaned up his act. He looks great. And so he walked on by. And then I saw coming toward me, but not walking. It was like floating toward me, this person that I did recognize, his face, his eyes, but I couldn't put a name to it. But it was just like I recognized him. And he had this great big smile. And just was exuding this loving energy, if you will. And as he got closer, it was like I found myself saying in my head, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in forever. And, you know, he just smiled. And then, boom, I was awake. And I was like, no, I want to stay there. I want to find out who this is and, you know, why he's visiting me now. It was very fascinating.
Wow, you know, that truly is an amazing spiritual experience. And I've had things like that happen to me. That's but what's so important, and I'm so glad you shared that because that's where this can go. But I remember, you know, when I first when I first started opening, you know, it was literally, and I use this connection in the book about just open the window a little, because when we keep the window shut and say, you know, unless it's so dramatic, we miss all the little openings. I had a woman that I worked with, and she came to me because she also had lost her husband to alcoholism. And she was very angry at him because she felt that he, you know, she wanted him to do more to save himself, to so that she wanted a dramatic, more of a dramatic sign from him. You know, she and this and I was she started sharing, and as she's starting to share, she's telling me these things, and I'm like, that's a sign from him. You know, like she found he used to have rosaries in his car, and that he just, it wasn't really Catholic or anything, I mean, or close to it. He just, they were in his car. And this one day she went shopping, came back, opened her car door. He'd been gone for a while. And at the bottom, right as she opened her car door, there's rosary sitting there.
Oh my gosh, how
You know,
interesting.
but she pushed it aside. And then, but the time that she was sitting at one morning, early morning, like 2 a.m., she woke up. She couldn't sleep. It was warm out. So she went and sat out on the deck. And there were these macrame plant holders that they had that had candles in them. They didn't have plants. And he had made the macrame. And they were the candles that had batteries. And she said they hadn't used them months, maybe even a year, and one of them lit up. Out of the, she didn't do anything. All of a sudden, it lit up, and that was the one that made her believe that he was there.
So has she stayed in touch with you as he continued to visit?
We have stayed in touch a little bit, and yes, he was continuing. She, with the work we did, I was able to. She was able to begin to feel him. She was, you know, we would talk. He would give me a word that she used to say, And I suddenly would use that word, and she'd be like, "That's what I always said to him." So, they will give you, and they will, and this way you, it is all about you don't, we don't need someone else to be there. It is comforting to go to a medium or, especially in the beginning when you haven't, you haven't really opened yourself yet. But my belief is if you just allow the signs to, that they're as they come and to, and talk about it in the book that if you put it into a category of maybe you don't believe, but put it into the category of I don't believe yet, and just allow that window to open because they are there, and we know you and I know that it's fear that keeps us from connecting, fear that. Maybe this is a spirit, but maybe it's a negative spirit, and I don't want to connect with any spirit because I don't, but know that you are surrounded in love and that loving spirits are around you now,
I was even thinking, the emotional freedom technique. If
yeah.
somebody has a fear that, I'm going crazy or my grief is causing this,
Yes.
they would do just, minimal tapping with a
Oh,
statement that says, even though I'm afraid of moving forward, I know that my husband, my child will come through and comfort me. But
yes.
something to change that vibrational frequency again of fear into something that says, no, it's okay.
And that is absolutely perfect and so important for people to know because it is those little things that help them bring that fear down. And one of the reasons this book ended up as a memoir was to, I took people through my childhood. I came from a large family. There were a lot of things about my upbringing that wouldn't have led me to spirit. And yet, when I looked back, I'm like, there were signs all along. And when we look back, not only when we look back to our ancestors, which is also an important thing to do, because they are here to help us remember who we are. But when you look back and to your childhood and go through it all, suddenly you begin to see there were signs, even if you came from a family that didn't believe in that stuff. I mean, I remember listening to music back then, and somehow the music was giving me this spiritual, I didn't realize it was a spiritual feeling. And it wasn't until I went through what I went through with David that it was like, that's the same feeling I had back then.
Yeah, connecting the dots.
It's connecting the dots.
Right.
But what you said about doing the little things to help with fear is really important because if you allow the fear to get in the way, it is harder for you. And then you sit on one side saying, why can't I hear from them? Why aren't they talking to me?
Exactly.
And for a lot of it is just your fear that that it's not really them. And you don't know who it is, and but there is a way to know that if you take it slowly, and that's how looking at you connecting with your ancestors is one way because they're family, so there's so many things that I mean I know you and I could talk for about 4 hours, so
Easily. If we ever get to take that trip to Ireland, we'll never stop. Well, let everybody know how to find your book and where else they can reach out to you.
So my book is on Amazon. It is Ancestral Whispers: How My Husband's Passing Unveiled My Spiritual Inheritance. It's a long title, but it tells a lot in it. So it is on Amazon. I also my website is tellmeourstory.com, and that is from the point of view of the child asking the parent, tell me our story. And it's tellmeourstory.com is the website. And there you'll find information about me, but you also can find me on Facebook under Tell Me Our Story, on Instagram. Tell Me Our Story is ancestral healing is any one of those you can find. And you and I will, Lucy will have the links for you.
Yes, I definitely will. At the end of the synopsis, they're always there. So
Yeah.
thank you again for being on the show. It's always a pleasure,
Yeah.
and helping people understand that this isn't all there is. There
Yeah.
is so much more, and we just have to learn to be open to it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go out there and please make this your very best life. Share, the story that we have today with Bernadette, and check out her book, and maybe it will be a tremendous benefit to those who need it, to know that life does go on and you do have a way to stay in touch with your ancestors. So thanks again, Bernadette, for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody, please make this your best life, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.